nature for us to have the fullness of the joy of our salvation. The purifying, the purity that is, it speaks of here, as he says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying. These men, these people here, had already purified their souls because they had already obeyed the truth. See the point? They had already obeyed the truth by being baptized into the truth. And you can't get that purification in any water or anywhere. Naaman the leper, remember him? Naaman had leprosy. And a little maid that worked for him brought it out. Would to God that there was a prophet of Israel here. He would cleanse you of your leprosy. So Naaman, he got his men together and went down to Israel, went over to Israel, you know, to see what he could get done about that situation and get rid of that leprosy. And Elijah, I believe it was, sent his servants out there and just told him plain off, says, go dip yourself 7 times in Jordan. And that made old Naaman real hot. He went into a raging thing, you know. They told him, says, Master said if he'd have called on you to do something great, would you have not obeyed it? But now he's come forth so in a simple way. But when those servants come out, the question was, Naaman says, is not the waters in Damascus just as good as the waters in Jordan? Well, have you ever heard people say, is not one baptism just as good as another? Is not this water as good as the water? But listen to what Naaman says. Naaman says, after that he is cleansed, after he is cleansed, just like that we're looking for a certain cleansing also, after he's cleansed, he says, now I know that there is no God save the God in Israel. That's the only God, the God in Israel. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He's the God in Israel. And he become to know that. Over in the Hebrew letter, it mentioned having our bodies washed with pure water. Well, what makes the waters of Israel more pure than the other waters here? Because if you take the waters out there and put it in this glass and put the waters of Israel we baptize in another glass and let the scientists look through them, they say there's no difference. Water's no difference. But the difference is coming into the waters of Israel, which is in truth, and being baptized in truth. Amen. It becomes pure there because God makes it pure through His Word. It becomes pure to the point that it satisfies you. And that's what we're looking for, is satisfaction. We want to be satisfied. We want that spot in here that we've been seeking for so long. We want it satisfied. And to be purified, as he's speaking about here, there is a purification in the obedience of ourselves unto truth, unto the unfriends love of the brethren. One of the writers, I believe it was John, said, you may know that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brother. In other words, you may know. That's something you may know, brother. You don't have to hope for it. You may know it. I say this morning, if you love the brethren in the right purpose, you really love the brethren out of your hearts, my dear brother, you have passed from death unto life. And death, that death that you pass from is the old Adamic transgressional death. It's gone. It's put behind you. And it'll never be no more. You'll never die. You'll never go back into that death. That's that eternal death. You'll never go back into that death. You're taken out of that death. And that's the only death that's known as a death in God's sight. Oh, when you lay these little frail bodies down and they go back to dust, that's not no death in God's sight. It's only a sleep. It's only a sleep. Jesus mentioned, I mentioned this at church yesterday, about Lazarus, you know. You know, Lazarus, he made it better. Let's go wake Lazarus, you know. And you know, the disciples, your Bible readers know how it goes. Oh, if he's sleeping, he's doing well, you know. Let him alone. Let him sleep, so to speak. Then he made it known that he was dead. What, he spoke in two terms, and as I said yesterday, he didn't tell no lie to begin with. Christ didn't. He said he sleepeth, and then he comes to the point that he's dead. He spoke as the Creator there, and the power of what he was unto him, and then he told him what a state he was in when it comes to the frail humanity of man. Because man cannot raise the dead in no phase. Cannot raise the dead. But he could. To Christ, he was only asleep. Brother, when you go out here and if they want to put a gravestone out here for your head or something, well, that doesn't mean a thing with the Lord. You're only asleep. And in the day when he gets ready for you, he will come forth, the heavens shall turn him loose with the sound of an archangel and the trump of God. In other words, and everyone, in other words, will be wakened. That'll be an assembly. The gospel is preached to bring the assembly together. You know, over in the Old Testament, they blew the trumpet. And that trumpet had different sounds, and all the different sounds, the Jews knew what that sound meant. And they had one sound that they blew, tune, so to speak, for a coming together, an assembling of themselves together. Well, that trumpet that we try to blow today is the gospel trumpet. And when the gospel trumpet is blown, it's blown for the assembly to assemble themselves together. We fail, brother, in that so much of the time. But it's blown for the assembly. Well, the Lord Jesus is going to blow the trumpets in, and the sound of the trumpet. The gospel trumpet fails, but I'll tell you, brother, that's one trumpet that won't fail. It will bring everyone that belongs to God out of the grave. Amen. It won't fail. What God does not fail. We fail so much. Paul says, where there's prophecy, it'll fail. Well, what are we? We're New Testament prophets. Prophecy. We're not Old Testament prophets. Because what the old prophets prophesied under the Old Testament has come to pass. In other words, he appeared into the world some 2,000 years ago on his first mission. And he said Christ was once offered at the end of time to put away sin, something on this wise. And those that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I read that. I said, well, he's not a sinner. What it meant, on his first mission, he come concerning sin and concerning death. And he had to put away sin in order to abolish death on his first mission. On his second mission, he's not coming concerning sin because he got the job done. Brethren, this morning, do you believe when he said, Father, it's finished? Do you believe it was finished? Or do you believe there's yet something for you to do to finish it? I can go home and snore all night long that it's finished, brother, and it don't worry me 1 ounce. That's finished. Therefore, the things that he finishes, we don't have to be so up and about to finish it, because it's already completed. And you can't add to nothing that's finished. And don't try to take away from anything that's finished. Don't try to add to these words or take any words out from the words of God. We'll add the plagues to us, and so on and so forth if we do. And that's where God's people are today. They are plagued. God's people are plagued out there today and want that purification. That's what they're seeking for, the truth, that they might receive the fullness of the joy of their salvation. And anyone that hasn't come unto the knowledge of the truth is incomplete. It's incomplete. And he won't be complete until he has grown, or God has revealed to him the truth, which is preached in the proclamation of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew and Greek. And then he says, for therein, meaning therein the gospel, when it's preached, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And that revelation is revealed in your intellect. Where the Bible says, when faith cometh, in other words, that faith is I can't get that scripture this time, maybe it'll come in a moment. But anyway, the revelation of Christ into the intellect is a work that's done through the gospel. Because God has a revelation in that gospel, if it is taught in truth or preached in truth, to open our understanding, which is our intellect, that we might understand the work that God has done in here. So right there is when faith cometh. In other words, to open up, we have faith then in his works and not in our own selves or the work of men. It's good to know that. That's why we want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the Lord says, if we know that, it'll make us free. And we are to be in obedience now. Obedience unto these things and love one another with a pure heart, fervently, I believe it says. Yeah, fervently. In other words, with a great zeal, not a haphazard thing, but to love one another. I feel that we've got an ample amount for all of God's children everywhere out there. But for the household of faith, there's something greater there. You take Joseph back there when he was sold off into Egypt, you know how that goes. When he was sold off into Egypt, and finally, when he made himself known to his brethren, you know, he had one full-blooded brother. Was it which one? Well, I can't cut all the name. I believe it was Benjamin. Was it not? But anyway, one of them was his full. Those two boys were by Rachel. Rachel was the first love of Isaac. Yeah. Those two boys were born of that one woman, and the other 10 of those patriarchs of Israel were of different mothers, you know. But anyway, what I wanted out of that was this. When he made himself known to his brethren, he set them all down to a table there, so to speak, and had an ample amount of a one of them. But when he come to Benjamin there, he had 5 times more for him. Because he had the same mother that Joseph had. He had the same mother. So those that have the same mother that we have, we've got 5 times. But at the same time, we're not going to slack none of God's children. We've got an ample amount of what they need. We've got it. But there's an extra love in those that honor the same mother. Then he says, now we're being born, not being born at that particular moment, but being born, already born, so to speak, again, not of a corrupt seed, but of the incorrupt, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again. Now the first birth that we had was of a corrupt seed. And what did it bring forth? It brought forth a corrupt body. In other words, a body that gives us a lot of trouble. Job said, man born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. But we're born again, not of a corrupt seed, but of the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And he goes on down here and says, I'll read it in a moment or two. This word of God is God himself in the beginning. The Bible says, what's the word? And the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was God. That's in the beginning when he spoke everything into existence. He said, let it be, and it was. The solar system, the planets, in the solar system, the earth, everything that he spoke into existence. He didn't burn it into existence. Then he's not going to burn it out of existence. When the time comes for the end, he'll speak it out of existence. Therefore, until that time, I got news for you. I'll tell you when the end of the world's going to be, when he'll speak it out of existence. Not by the calendar now. Don't get that. Not calendar-wise. When the last heir of promise that God saw back yonder in eternity, when the last heir of promise, the blood that was shed for him on Calvary is applied to his soul in this world, then that work will be over.
Amen.
And the natural things will go on until that time. And after that time, the apostle said, and then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Then cometh the end. In other words, the kingdom will be delivered up to God into safety, into heaven, and a more glory, and then will come the end of all natural things. I've heard people want to use gold in heaven. And there's not going to be any gold in heaven, because gold is a natural thing. It's here on earth. That's a figure of the church in which the writer was bringing out. But if we walk on the golden streets and so on and so forth, how beautiful the church is. and how sweet that she is. But as far as natural things, you won't need it, brother. Because if God is able to show you such wonderful and beautiful things upon earth as He does here, what's He got in store for you when we're not sinners? Every one of us is sinners. If He allows us in our sinful state to view these beautiful and wonderful things, what has He got in store for us in there and at that time? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. Now that's mentioned over, I believe, in Isaiah somewhere too, you know. All flesh is as grass, and the flower, as he says here, is grass, and all the glory of man. Now Paul, I'll use him again. Paul had a lot of glory. He was a blade of grass, but he had so many flowers to his glory. In other words, but after the Lord came, the book says the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. Now you take the flower of man and you might say the flower of Christ. The works of Christ did not fall away. But the glory of man fell away. It falls away. But the glory of Christ does not fall away by the word of God. In other words, it's helped by the power of God. And he says here, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth, what? Forever. Endureth forever. And this is the word. Now listen to this. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Which means, if the living word is not in your heart, we cannot preach the gospel to you. The gospel can only be preached to those that have the living word in their bosoms. This is the word whereby the gospel is preached. In other words, meaning that God, the living word, has to do its work, has to enter in unto your soul. It has to do its work, make its abode there first, and it liveth and abideth forever. In other words, there is where Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is something that abides forever. And then after the living word has made its abode in the bosom of man, that's the same thing that Paul said a while ago, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves. We can only beseech man by the mercies of God. Now you take your large preachers over the radios and the TVs and things like that, that hold, you might say, the vast population of the religious world under their teaching, you know. Those things are no value really to the things that God has put in us. Lost the trail of thought again. I'm about like Elder Hancock said he was one time. He said when he went into the pulpit, he always took his spiritual toolbox. And said he opened that toolbox up and didn't always know what piece of tool to take out. But said a lot of times he took out a piece of tool and lost it before he got it back to the toolbox. Anyway, being born again of his spirit, which liveth and abideth, and it must take place. And as Paul said, I get back to that there. I beseech you. Now, we can beseech people that's been born again. We can beseech them. That means beg or compel or beseech them to be in service or to present their bodies into the service of God. In other words, present your body into the church and begin your work in the vineyard of the field of the Lord here. And your work is to, I believe, in winning souls to the Lord.
If it's placed in the right place.
Paul said that he became this and he became that, and he suffered everything. He suffered the loss of everything and became as Jews, and he became this, that, and the other, that he might win some to Christ, you know. And he desired to save some, to save them, to win them to Christ. Well, you can win somebody to Christ. In other words, when the Lord himself said, let your light so shine before men that you might win some. In other words, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. We can win people to the Lord. Not to be born again, don't take me wrong. But we can win them and present them by walking the truth out unto them, before them. And I fully believe that I won my wife to the church. I didn't put the love of God in her heart. But when I come home that Sunday and told her that I joined the church down at Union Grove, the Primitive Baptist, she shed great big tears. But they were not tears of joy, they were tears of grief. At that time, they were tears of grief. Well, I just went right on my way. The way I felt the Lord had led me to go, I just kept going. And to make a long story short, in about 7 years, I saw her. I wasn't preaching at that time. Elder Mills was preaching, and I was sitting back here. And he was preaching. And I saw her, my wife, when she got up off that seat and started up. And when she come up there, there was 16 more that followed her. I said, look what you've been standing in the way of. If a man has an unbelieving wife and they be pleased to dwell together, let them dwell together. How knoweth thou, old man, whether thou save that wife or not? In other words, just walk out the truth before them. Be patient with them. Someday you'll win them by that. But now if you start trying to poke it down them and being rough and rude and this, that, and the other, you offend them. And when you offend a person, you might not ever get him to come into the biblical church. You should be careful not to offend, but rather try to win. The Lord loves dividends. You know, I'm not no rich man. I'm not telling this to tell you I've just got more money than I need and all that kind of stuff. But I do have a little small CD or two. And what that little small CD does, it brings me a little usury or interest at the end of the year. It's not too much right now, but it's something. You can take a dollar bill and carry it home and put it on the shelf and just leave it there. Leave it there for a year, 10 years, or whatnot. It'll always be, brother, a dollar bill every time you go back there. But if you'll take that dollar bill down to the bank, and place it in on interest. It might not be at this time, but about 2%. But at the end of the year, you go back and your dollar bill's laying there and two pennies on top of it. Well, that's what the Lord is interested in, is those two pennies laying on top of it. He loves usury. He said to the unprofitable servant, he said, if you'd have put my money in the bank, I'd have had what's mine along with the usury. So he handled him, not because of the principle. The dollar bill is a principal dollar. The principle in us is Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. You're not handled over that, but you're handled on what you can derive from what he has given you, the principle. The principle that's in us, we can derive a profit from it.